Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Let's pray and then we'll dive on in tonight's message. Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity you've given me, God, to speak to this congregation. Lord, I just pray that you speak through me tonight, Lord, and that all the words that come out of my mouth just be from you, Lord, not for myself. And Lord, I just pray that you give us all ears that are willing to listen and hearts that are willing to change for you, Lord, the things you have for our life. And with these things up to you, and amen. Well, I want to share a story with you. A few weeks ago, I went on my lunch break, and I go out to the back parking lot, and right before I get in my truck, I start thinking about what I want to have for lunch. And this can be a big thing sometimes, because lunch is kind of an important meal. It's got to get you through the day, and you got to make sure that it's good. And so I start like this scan of all the places I've eaten in my life, and I start thinking about it. I think, you know, Taco Bell is like top of my list. That's my place, okay? But I think like Taco Bell, Jack in the Box, McDonald's, Subway, Chipotle, Flame Broiler, Chick-fil-A, all these things just start trickling down until finally one matches up with what I'm craving, okay? But this today, that day was really strange because in that database of food, one came up that I never eat. Pollo Loco comes up because, and I'm not a fan of Pollo Loco. I honestly, last time I ate there was probably like 5 years ago, and the only reason why I had that food was is because the only thing I could find in my parents' fridge was Pollo Loco, and so that's why I had it. But so it was really strange. I thought, why do I want someplace I don't like? And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll try it out. It's been a long time. So I'm driving over there, and literally I turned down the music to think, this is crazy. There's something weird about this. Why am I going to Pollo Loco? And like, because seriously, lunch is a big thing for me, if you can't tell. And so I get out of my truck, and I start walking, and I'm still thinking, this is really bizarre. But as I walk in, there's a homeless woman there, and she asked me for money, and I said, hey, you know, I won't give you any money, but I'll buy you a burrito on my way out. And she's like, okay, cool. And so I go inside, and I order my food as usual, and then I was waiting for my food, and just standing there waiting, I see these two younger guys come walking in, and I've seen this 1,000 times before. These two younger guys ask for two water cups. Okay, and they're pulling the oldest trick in the book where they're going to take those water cups and they're not going to fill up with water, I guarantee it. And so I watched these two young guys walk over to the water fountain or the soda fountain and just pour soda in there. And I'm like, gosh, kids today. But then I think, I was that kid like 10 or 11 years ago, so I can't get mad at them. But I think, wow, okay, whatever, let them do what they want. And so I get my food. And I walk with my tray out to the dining area to see there's no open tables except for a table next to those two kids. And I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll sit next to them. So I'm sitting next to them, and normally eating time for me isn't a time where I think, it's not a time where I converse, it's just a time where I just eat, okay? But for whatever reason, today, really strange, bizarre day, I'm sitting there eating, and I just can't help but listen in on these two young guys' conversation. And it just, the words just coming out of the mouth, I mean, the foulest things you would hear. And when I say young, I mean, these were junior high students. Some of the foulest things that you could hear coming out of these kids' mouth, and I'm thinking, oh, this doesn't sound good. Then, all of a sudden, here's where it gets really crazy. Then, all of a sudden, I feel like God wants me to say something to these two young kids. And I'm like, but it's my lunch break. Come on. Come on. That day, somebody had just called in, and I was on the phone with them for 45 minutes about just kind of crazy stuff. But I'm thinking, it's my lunch break. And then I'm thinking, but God, I don't know them. Come on. I don't know who they are. But what do I say? Shouldn't the workers of Pollo Loco be more concerned about drink theft than me? Like, and I had all these excuses. It's like, but. I was so full of excuses. But why? Why did I feel that way? Aren't we as Christians called to show God's love? Aren't we as Christians called to share the gospel? Why did I not want to do my job? Because my job as a Christian, because our job as a Christian makes us feel awkward. Our job as a Christian can be totally weird. Our job as a Christian can be uncomfortable, and it can feel intimidating. Why should I feel intimidated by two eighth graders? There I was that afternoon, intimidated by these two eighth graders. Why should I feel so weird? Why should it feel so awkward? Should I let it stop me? All of these things run through my mind in a matter of 2 or 3 seconds. And before I know it, I'm standing there next to these two guys' table. I didn't even finish my food. It's totally not like me, okay, to not finish my food. I didn't even finish my food. And I went ahead, and I was able to set aside how I felt And I responded to God calling me to do what I was supposed to do that day. And I went up and I asked them, I said, hey, do you guys know what you're doing is wrong? And they're like, what are you talking about? We're not doing anything wrong. I'm like, look, you're doing something wrong. I saw you put soda in those water cups. You didn't pay for them. And one of them looks at me right in the eye and says, it's water, bro. And I'm like, really? So Pollo Loco is getting their water out of the gutters because that's pretty dark for water. And I'm like, I wasn't born yesterday, man. I saw you do this. And the other one said, yeah, we know it's wrong. And then I said, hey, do you know that stealing is a sin? And I'm thinking, where's all this coming from? Like, why am I calling these two kids out right here? And people are looking at me like I'm some crazy guy. But I said, hey, do you know that stealing is a sin? And one of them, again, agrees, hey, yeah, I know it's a sin. The other one just glaring at me, not liking the fact that I called him out, not liking the fact that he got caught. He just wants me to go away. And so I'm like thinking, I'm not going anywhere, all right? You try to lie to me, I'm not going anywhere. And so I continue standing there, and I said, hey, look, I'm a youth pastor at Refuge Calvary Chapel. I met them. I said, you know, what grade are you guys in? And they said, eighth grade. I'm like, cool. You know, I'd love to have you guys in my youth group. Here's my card. Find me on Facebook. Send me an email, whatever you want to do. And here's a card to, I gave them a little Refuge card with a Bible verse on there. And I left. And I went outside, and that lady that I was going to give the burrito to, she was nowhere to be found. And so I start walking back to my truck with my burrito in my hand, thinking, all right, well, what do I do with this? Like, I'm full. I could eat some more. I had no problem. But then I think, no, wait, I'll go give this burrito to those two kids I just met. And so I go back inside stoked to give this burrito away, and I go to hand it to them, and I explain the situation, why I have the burrito and why they're going to have it so they don't think I'm totally crazy or I poisoned it or something. And so, because that one that was glaring at me, trust me, he did not like me. But I go to hand this burrito to them, and it was like I handed them a briefcase of $1 million and two golden tickets to see Willy Wonka in a chocolate factory. Like, they were just totally stoked at this, okay? And so I give it to them, and that one kid who was glaring at me actually looks up at me and smiles. And I said, hey, look, you know, Jesus offers forgiveness for sins. He can forgive all sins, and he died on the cross to forgive sins. He died as a living sacrifice. And I said, hey, look, I really want you guys to come to Refuge sometime. I don't know if they ever will, but I walk out of there feeling so good, knowing that I listened to God, because there's so many times where I have not. But knowing that I listened to God, knowing that I told someone the gospel in its simplest forms of, hey, you know, God forgives sin. Jesus died on the cross for sin. There it is. That's sharing the gospel. And then I thought, hey, wait a second. My job as a Christian isn't so awkward. My job as a Christian isn't so weird. It's not so uncomfortable. There was no need to feel intimidated. There was only a need to share the gospel and to share the love of Christ that day. That was the only need. Now, I'm not telling you all this to make myself look good by any means, because after all, it should actually look pretty bad that I was intimidated by these two eighth graders when I'm the junior high youth pastor, and I talk to sixth, seventh, and eighth graders all week long inside of church. I get outside of church, and I'm intimidated by that, so I'm not trying to look good by any means. I'm telling you this because I want to encourage you tonight, encourage you to get out of your comfort zone, to get past the awkwardness, get past this weird idea as Christians, what we're called to do, to get to telling others the gospel. Tonight, we're going to look at one of Paul's journeys to Jerusalem, a trip where he responded to the revelation, the call to share the gospel, a trip where he wasn't intimidated, a trip where he wasn't worried about feeling awkward, a trip where he wasn't worried about his job as a Christian being weird. We will see tonight that Paul went to share the gospel because it needed to be shared. And we will see how we are to respond to the revelations, the calls that God gives us. We're going to see how to respond to those. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Pretty excited right now because my whole family's right here. It's pretty cool. Even my little nephew, he's here. Okay, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 says this, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." Verse 3, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage." Verse 5, "to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seemed to be something added nothing to me. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he worked effectively in Peter, for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Okay, so one of the first things that we see here is that Paul tells us that he's returning to Jerusalem after 14 years. Paul was going back to someplace that he hadn't been in 14 years. And if you look back at chapter 1, Paul went to Jerusalem 14 years ago. We see that where he met with Peter and James. But before he did that, in verse 12 of chapter 1, he mentions that he did not receive the gospel or was taught it by any person, but he received it by revelation. He received it by revelation. I mean, the Holy Spirit gave it to him. He wasn't going to Peter and James saying, hey, teach me the gospel. You talked with Jesus. Teach me what he taught you. He said he received it by the Holy Spirit. And this is important, that whole 14 years, because it shows that for 14 years, Paul didn't just sit around and pick the disciples' brains saying, hey, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about the whole experience. For 14 years, Paul instead went and shared the gospel with the Gentiles. But this time he's going back to Jerusalem, and this time he was not going alone. He's taking two people with him. We have Barnabas and we have Titus. And Barnabas was already a respected person in the Gentile world, and Titus was being brought along as a good example of what God's grace can do to people. And later on we'll talk a little bit more about Titus. But why? Why was Paul going? Why? What's there to do after 14 years of not being there? If you look at verse 2, we see why Paul was going. It says, and I went up by revelation. So we've seen this before in Paul's writings. He was going because the Holy Spirit called him to go. He was responding to a call from God to go somewhere. He wasn't going because he missed the disciples. He wasn't going because his best friend lived there. He wasn't going to a vacation in Jerusalem. He was going there because the Holy Spirit sent him on his way there. And he responded, and he went. Now, he went to a council. All right, if you look at 2, after it says, and I went up by revelation and communicated to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation. He's talking about Peter, James, and John. Paul is going to this council of guys who walked with Jesus to tell them the gospel. Most of us would consider this a crazy thing. I would feel like those guys, they know it. Why am I going there to share the gospel with these guys? It's kind of like this meeting of the minds, right? I would be totally intimidated by somebody who's so smart like this. Have you ever been surrounded by people who seem to be a whole lot smarter than you? Or is it just me? Or it might just be me. I don't know. But my fiance, she doesn't like to tell people this, but I do because I think it's so cool. I'm going to tell you guys this right now. She graduated from a small university called Yale, okay? You might have heard of it, right? And so it really, really amazing thing. Well, so I go to one of her friend's wedding thing last year. And I go as her date, and it's kind of cool. And so I get there, and her friend just so happened, who's getting married, just so happened to go to Yale. And the guy that she was marrying just so happened to go to Yale. And so everybody from that wedding, at that wedding that day, seemed to be coming from Yale. And then there's Chris, who certainly did not go to Yale. Cal State Fullerton barely passed, but here I am, right? And so I feel like this is like this meeting of the minds, and I'm kind of intimidated. I'm kind of thinking, I can't really debate with anybody here. I can't really speak up. I can't really say anything because these people, they got the mind of Yale, and I got my mind, right? And so I think, wow, this is a crazy situation. But I think about like Paul in this situation. Whereas most of us would say, I'm not going to talk to Peter, James, and John. No way. Like, that's a crazy call. That's crazy. But Paul doesn't care. Paul not intimidated at this idea that he is called to go and talk to this council, this meeting of the minds. And unlike me, Paul went there to speak up. Paul went there with an agenda. He went there to tell the council that day about the gospel that he had been preaching. He went to go talk about the gospel to three guys who saw the gospel unfold right before their very eyes. These guys, they talked with Jesus. They had lunch with Jesus. They made Jesus laugh. And this guy, Paul, was going to tell them the gospel. So Paul goes. Well, why? Why did he need to do this? Why did Paul need to explain himself? It's because there was a war going on. There was a feud. There was a fight between the council's people. You see, the church in Jerusalem there, it was led by Peter, James, and John, and they have this church going on. Now, a war happens because there was the Jews and there were the Gentiles, these two groups. And so there's about to become this separation because the Jews don't like the fact that the Gentiles can jump in there and follow the same God that the Jews felt that they had to have laws and regulations for. And so there's about to come this split. But Paul comes into that meeting that he tells us about in verse 2. He comes into that meeting. And Paul comes onto the scene with this radical new idea to preach the gospel, the good news, the freedom that Christ offers, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. That's what he'd been doing for the past 14 years. And so you have all these Gentiles coming to this church saying, yeah, Paul sent us over here. He told us about the gospel, and we are here. And you have the Jews speaking up saying, hey, wait, the Gentiles, they can't follow Christ. They can't follow God. They're not circumcised. They haven't been keeping up with the Sabbath. They haven't been making sacrifices. They haven't followed any of the laws of Moses. They can't do this. And so that's why we have the division here. That's what's going on. And so Paul goes to this council and tells them the message that he preaches to the Gentiles. He tells them the gospel. And it says that he did it in a private meeting. That he preached the gospel in front of, we can know that it was, since it was a private meeting in the council, we're talking about Peter, James, and John. And since Paul had brought these two guys, Titus and Barnabas, we can know those five guys were there. Maybe that was a private meeting. And it says that he did this. He did it for fear of running in vain. This meant that he wanted all the apostles and himself to be on the same page, for everybody to be teaching the same message. And the reason being because Paul didn't want what he was doing and had done and was about to do to be a waste of time. Because if Peter was teaching a different message than Paul, or James or John teaching a different message than Paul, then those who were the Jewish leaders could say, hey, well, you know, Peter said, or John said, so therefore, Paul, you're wrong. So Paul goes into this meeting to make sure that everybody is on the same page, that everybody is teaching the same exact gospel. I feel like that's ironic. That's my fiance's phone going off. But so Paul wanted everybody to be on the same exact page because he didn't want his ministry to be an absolute waste, because Paul got it. You have to remember, Paul got the gospel from the Holy Spirit through that revelation. Paul knew what it was about. And let's look at verse 3 here. It says, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So we have this guy, Titus, and I automatically think, what a cool name, Titus. You know, it sounds a lot like Titan. We have a kid in the youth group named Rock. And when I first met Rock, he comes up to me, I'm like, hey, what's your name? He's like, Rock. I'm thinking, no, your name's not Rock. You can't have a cool name like that. No way. Well, sure enough, his name's really Rock. But I think about like Titus here, cool name too. And so Titus, he was a Greek. Now, this is important because Titus hadn't ever followed any of the Mosaic laws. He didn't follow any of this. He didn't follow the rituals of the Sabbath, the rituals of sacrifice, the rituals that all the Jews had gone through. But here he was following God. Here he was following God. And he was going around with Paul and Barnabas. This is a really cool thing because Paul was using him as an example of how God's grace and God's love and God's gospel affects people and how it affects anyone and everyone, not just the Jew, but even somebody like Titus. Now, Titus at one point was similar to Paul in that, if you guys know Paul's story, once Saul, in that Paul hated, at the time, Saul hated Christians so much, they actually went out to kill them. Now, Titus, it was similar because he wanted nothing to do with God, just like Saul did. He wanted absolutely nothing. Even actually, most commentators say that Titus was actually a pagan at one point. And so we see what the gospel does to anyone. And so Paul brings him along to say, hey, look, here's this guy who hasn't followed any of the laws. Tell me how he's following God then. Because he's responding to the gospel. And so now if you look at the end of verse 3 and into 4, it says, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. He was not even compelled to be circumcised. And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. So here's the guys who are starting the problems right here. And Paul says the whole reason this Titus thing is an issue is because of these guys. These bad guys. Guys, another translation says, people who infiltrated their ranks. There's another translation that says, guys who wormed their way into the meeting. These people snuck into the meeting that day that was supposed to be private, and they got an issue with Titus. They have an issue with the fact that these Gentiles are not following the rules that we have set in place. These guys came and were up to no good. They came only looking to destroy, only looking to tear down the gospel that Paul had taught. These guys came to look at the freedom that Christ provided and said, there's no way. They're not doing this. You guys aren't doing that. They came to put down laws, regulations, to bind the freedom that is found in Christ. They came as legalizers. And Paul says, they came to make them slaves, to make them follow those laws that Jesus came to destroy. They didn't want people to be free. They didn't like the fact that people could now follow God without following all those laws that they had to grow up to follow. They didn't like this. And it says, not even for an hour did Paul give in to them. Another translation says, not even for a moment did Paul stop to even consider what they were saying. We've seen Paul, who wasn't intimidated about going to Jerusalem. We see Paul, who wasn't worried about feeling awkward about teaching the gospel to guys who walked with Jesus. We see Paul, who wasn't willing to back down even when these guys sneak into the meeting. Paul's not worried about the weird job as a Christian, the awkwardness, the intimidation, the worry. That doesn't bother him because he keeps going. He keeps standing his ground here. Look at who he comes up against next in verse 6 here. It says, but from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. Paul said that there were some people around there who seemed to be something. These people seem to be the ones who do good. And others look up to them and say, oh, wow, that guy, he does a lot of good things. He sure is something. Paul's saying those people were there. Hi, Mason. Paul's saying that those people were there. And it doesn't stop him. He's not worried about the awkwardness, the intimidation. He says it did nothing. Those people who were something, Paul wasn't willing to back down from his gospel. Paul wasn't worried about the awkwardness. He said, these people are just doing exterior things to look good. Doesn't matter. It does nothing to me. It does nothing to the gospel. And Paul continues to preach it. So now we've had Paul, he could have been intimidated at the trip to Jerusalem. You know, I'm sure that was a far journey. He could have been intimidated at the fact that he had to share the gospel with the apostles. He could have been intimidated at the fact that the legalists came in. He could have been intimidated at the fact that these guys who were something, but he wasn't. He keeps going, not willing to back down. Paul's not afraid of the weird job of being a Christian. Paul's not afraid to live out the call. Paul was up against some real obstacles, some real things that we might look at and we think, as we're going on the trip to our own Jerusalem, we think, what am I doing? Why am I driving to Pueblo Loco? What am I doing here? How can I go and share the gospel with those people? Why go to some place where I'm not welcome, where this kid's going to be glaring at me? Why? But Paul, standing his ground, proved to be a good thing. Paul didn't let any of the intimidation rock him from his foothold. Paul, standing his ground, proved to be a really, really good thing. Have you been there before? Have you been in that spot knowing, feeling, thinking that you should share the gospel with someone? That feeling where like, I know God wants me to do this. Simply telling somebody the freedom, the love, the salvation that Christ offers. But feeling like you're up against some real obstacles. Oh, I got to go. No way can I catch my coworker after work. He has to get home to his wife. Not happening. I can't. No time. No time to show the gospel. We create like these obstacles. And sometimes we think, oh, I can't. Nope, not today. It's not a good day. Not a good day. Too many obstacles here. And so we can easily talk ourselves out of following the call. Because we look at little roadblocks, things that we could easily climb over, but we think, whatever, another day. I'll have tomorrow to talk to my coworkers. I'll have tomorrow to talk to my neighbors. Have you ever felt scared or intimidated to hold your ground? Somebody questions your beliefs. You ever felt scared or intimidated to stand up and keep going with the gospel? You ever felt scared or intimidated to share the gospel with your own council of people? You see, we all have councils of people in our life, in our lives. Paul's council that day was going to Peter, James, and John. But we all have our own councils in our lives, our own circles of people that we connect with, our friends, our family, our coworkers, our neighbors. Have you ever felt intimidated or scared to share the gospel with your councils? Like, we've all been there. But it pays to not let the intimidation take over. It paid off for Paul. Because look at verse 7. It says, "But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me," and I'll stop right there, what happened was everybody that day got it. The guys who had worked their way into the meeting, the legalists, the people who seemed to be something, everybody got it. They saw, okay, Paul is here and he's on a mission by God to preach the gospel. Everybody got it. All of a sudden, it was all on the same page. Everybody was on the same page. And Paul was there to spread the gospel to the Jew, the Gentile, everyone, and it was now okay. Everybody got it. And even if you look at verse 9, we see it says, "And when James, Cephas, who is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised." Even the apostles, they got it. They thought, okay, Paul has received this grace. There's something about him. He is called to minister and to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. It paid off for Paul to not be intimidated, to not worry about feeling awkward, to not worry about the weird job as a Christian. It paid off for Paul to not let the little roadblocks stop him. Because at the end of the day, everybody got it. Everybody was on the same page. It pays off when you can get past the intimidation. When you get past the feelings of being scared or awkward or worried about what are they going to think of me. I got to tell these people about Jesus, that I believe in this thing that I can't see. You want me to tell my coworkers about that, my circles, my councils in my life? It pays off when we can get past the intimidation, when we can get past the questions that we have for ourselves. I think back to when my brother was six. My smallest brother is like twice my size now, but back when he was six, like 12 years ago. And so we go to the park behind my parents' house, and I don't know why. I was trying to think about this today, but he had like these snow gloves on. And we live in Southern California. I remember it being a warm day. The sun was out, but he's always doing weird stuff. And so he has these snow gloves on, and we go over to the park, and he takes off these snow gloves, and he puts them down on the bench here so he can go play in the playground area. And then all of a sudden, this kid shows up who's bigger than I was. He's a couple years older than me. This kid shows up and starts acting like he's going to take my brother's gloves. And I'm like thinking, oh man, he's bigger than I am, so all right, take the gloves, whatever. But my brother, I don't know if he was feeling scared or intimidated, he just jumps on this kid's back. And my brother, a six-year-old, and this kid's big, he just jumps on this kid's back, he goes to wrap his arms around his neck, and then just becomes dead weight on this kid's back, basically choking him. And the kid has no choice but to drop the gloves and give them back to my brother, and he walks off. But for my brother that day, it paid to get past the intimidation. It paid to get past the worry. It paid to get past, like, this is going to be really awkward jumping on some kid's back. I don't know who he is. It paid for my brother that day to get past those things. And just like it paid off for Paul to get past the intimidation, it can pay off for us as well. For you, for me, for us, we can get past the intimidation, get past the fears. Earlier, when Isaac had invited some of you to go and go down to the beach or even go down to Watts and share the gospel, we start thinking, oh, that doesn't sit well with me. I'll pass out tracts. I'll do that. I'll give out food. That sounds good. Oh, what, share the gospel? All of a sudden, you become a little worried, a little tense, no longer all comfortable anymore. But it pays to get past the fears. Because when we can get past the fears, when we can get past the roadblocks, we can share the gospel. We can tell others, hey, there's a God who loves you, and he loves you so much, he sent his son down to die on a cross for you, so that way you can have forgiveness for your sins. You have a way to go to heaven. That's it. When we can get past the roadblocks, we can share those things with other people. There's a Savior named Jesus Christ that wants your life. He wants you to follow him. But if we can't get past the intimidation, the awkwardness of being a Christian, someone who follows Christ, then the councils in your life, the circles in your life become unaffected. I don't know your friends. I don't know, I know some of your families. I don't know all your families. I don't know your coworkers. I don't know your neighbors. But you know who does? You do. You don't know my friends, my neighbors, my councils. You know who does? I do. And so we are called to share the gospel with the councils in our life. My question for us, myself included, is can we get past the awkwardness? Can we get past the intimidation, the weird job of being a Christian, and instead focus on the bigger picture, which is getting our circles, our councils to heaven, getting them salvation? And salvation doesn't mean something that we get when we're dead. Salvation means we get that the minute we choose to accept Christ in our lives. We get to follow this guy who's the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation begins at that moment. So can we get past the awkwardness, the intimidation, the weird job of being a Christian for the sake of our councils? How do we do this? How do we do this? And this is a big thing, to share the gospel with our councils. How do we do this? How do we get there? Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 21:15 that he would give them the words to say when others tried to oppose them. This is the same Jesus that was with the disciples. This is the same Jesus that calls all of his followers to preach the gospel into all the world. This is the same Jesus that is with us today. Why would that not same Jesus give you the words to say to your councils of people? That afternoon, when I went into Pollo Loco, I had no idea what I was going to say to those two kids. Even as I took footsteps to the table, I had no idea. I firmly believe that God can speak through anyone and that he will give you the words to say to your councils. In Jeremiah 1:9, it says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth.'" This is the same God that we follow today. This is the same God that can put his words in your mouth. This is the same God that could speak through you. It's all a matter of can we get past the intimidation factor, the awkwardness, the weird job of being a Christian. Let's face it, a lot of the world doesn't like us because they think that we're weird. We have to describe to somebody that we follow something that we can't see, and if we don't follow, we don't get to go to heaven, and he offers forgiveness for our sins. It's a weird thing to describe to somebody who has no idea what it's about. A lot of the world thinks that we're crazy, and we let that affect us sometimes. We don't want to look any crazier. Well, I want to keep the friends that I have. I don't want my coworkers to think I'm some nut job. I don't want any of that. And so we hit those roadblocks, and we're not moving any forward. We're stuck. But Paul didn't let any of those things stop him. He didn't care that he was going to preach the gospel to guys who saw the gospel unfold before their very eyes. He didn't care that people tried to stop him. He didn't care that some people looked good. He kept going, and it paid off for Paul. It can pay off for us too. It's just going to someone in your council and telling them the good news. And a lot of times we think, well, how do I break down the gospel? It's something as simple of, hey, you could be freed from your sin thanks to Jesus Christ dying as a living sacrifice. There's the gospel. It's good news that you could be freed. How do we do this though? How do I go to the councils in my life and share the good news? How do I go in the councils of my life and share the gospel? I'm not telling you tonight to run across the street to Bella Terra and go to Starbucks and go to Barnes & Noble because they're open until 11 o'clock and go in there and tell everybody, hey, yeah, Jesus Christ loves all you guys. That would be a wonderful thing. But I guarantee you, if I made that challenge to you, 99% of you would be like, that's weird. Those people are just enjoying their books and their coffee. I'm not going to do that to them. They probably had a rough day at work. I'm saying tonight, that we need to get past the worry, need to get past that fear, that awkwardness, and we need to start looking for the opportunities, really start looking at the counsels in your life where God has placed you, your coworkers, your friends, your neighbors, and your family. That is where you are. And we need to look at those opportunities that we have. And we need to start feeling confident that God will give us the words to say. We need to stop worrying about being weird. You guys, you're already weird, all right? I'm already weird. Don't worry about it. Can't worry about being awkward anymore. Because the bigger picture is, would you rather put your awkwardness before someone's salvation? It doesn't make any sense when you think about it that way. So start feeling confident that God will give you the words to say and stop worrying about feeling weird. Start thinking about how the gospel can impact your counsel. That's what I want to encourage you tonight to do. Just start thinking. Start thinking, how do I get over these roadblocks that are naturally going to come? How do I get past the intimidation factor? Think about Paul. None of you guys are going to share the gospel to people who saw the gospel unfold before their very eyes. None of you guys are going to pastors and to preachers and to teachers and telling them the gospel. You guys are going to people who need to hear the gospel. Paul had it far worse than we did. Paul had to travel by foot. Paul had people up in his face saying, hey, you and those people can't follow God. Didn't stop him. We have it much easier than Paul did. So start thinking about how the gospel can impact your counsel. Let's pray.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.